Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for April 6, 2015. I'm Faith Miller. Businesses affected by the construction of the LA Metro rail line are getting some much-needed financial help. Ben Krause has the story.
Mayor Eric Garcetti was flanked by other members of LA Metro on Wilshire Boulevard today, where the Purple Line connector is being built. He announced the first payments to come from the Business Interruption Fund. Four small businesses received checks totaling over $66,000 to help them survive during rail line construction. In order to qualify for the fund, businesses must have a maximum payroll of 25 employees, an operation history of at least 2 years, and being in good standing with its taxes.
So this is not a fund just saying, sorry, business is down, can you help me, I might buy there. You need to show that it's because of the construction, because this is taxpayer money that we want to be very zealous guardians of.
In addition to the Purple Line, the fund also helps businesses along the Crenshaw LAX line and the Little Tokyo section of the regional subway project. Marilyn Brown owns Design Studio 27 that received one of the checks. She says that money helps the local community.
I just would like to let the other business owners know that it's in their best interest to move forward with the program because it does work.
However, those small businesses yet to receive any assistance are eager to see what kind of help they can get. Jay owns Stakely's Barbershop in Westchester.
Because we're hoping that some type of compensation will come. We're not asking for just everything, just any help.
The Metro Board recently authorized the agency to designate up to $10 million annually to the Business Interruption Fund. Ben Krause, Annenberg Radio News.
Jury selection starts today in a lawsuit against the California State University system. Former students may get repaid about $50 million from a tuition fee increase. Megan Coyle has more.
Former students across California argue Cal State violated a good faith agreement when it imposed new tuition fees in July of 2009. The university system charged students an additional $336 after students had already paid their tuition for the upcoming fall semester. Five former Cal State students filed a lawsuit on behalf of the 170,000 students who had to come up with the extra money on short notice. Current Cal State Fullerton junior Brandon Wazon Williams works three jobs to pay for school, and he thinks the sudden price increase was unfair.
The system is already asking for a lot of money, more than I feel like they need. Having to take $400 out of that is pretty much going to take almost a whole paycheck, so I might not have much to live off for the month.
I contacted California State University for comment, and they responded with a written statement saying the additional tuition fee was the only option after CSU faced economic hardship during the recession. Cal State also said in the statement that they're optimistic the jury will rule in its favor. The court has already dismissed the students' claim that CSU's tuition fee was a breach of contract. Megan Coyle, Annenberg Radio News.
Mayor Eric Garcetti, along with more than 70 mayors and state officials, filed a legal brief today supporting President Obama's immigration reform. Texas and 25 other states filed a lawsuit to challenge the policy, saying it violates the Constitution. A Texas judge has ruled in their favor. The president's executive action would shield nearly 5 million undocumented immigrants from deportation. Polo Morales, the political director for the Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, says the order could prove especially beneficial in L.A.
500,000 undocumented immigrants that could benefit from the deferred action programs that the president announced last November.
Republicans have accused President Obama of overstepping his authority. Ira Melman, spokesperson of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, says it'll hurt working people.
Number one, the President's Act is unconstitutional. Number two, it harms workers and taxpayers in those states.
The brief, filed by Los Angeles and other cities and states, is asking the appeals court to let the immigration policy proceed. PETA is back in the news, this time for their take on a fix for the drought.
People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, or PETA, demanded today that Governor Jerry Brown mandate a 25% cut in dairy and meat production to help alleviate drought conditions.
Not all foods are created equal, and some foods, they take up a lot more water, and we can't just continue to eat without thinking about the ramifications of our actions.
That's Liam Cronin, a spokesman for PETA in Los Angeles. Governor Brown mandated a 25% reduction in water use by state's residents, mostly in urban areas, but he spared farmers. Critics say this focus is misguided when agriculture uses 80% of the state's water. But Paul Martin of Western United Dairymen insists farmers are doing their part to conserve.
Everybody has to participate. You can't point your fingers at one sector and say that sector has to change, be it ag or be it urban.
Kelly Sanders, environmental engineering professor at USC, says part of the problem is that meat and dairy production is so water intensive.
It's a very small part of California's economy, but a huge share of the water.
PETA's ultimate goal is to shut down all meat and dairy production facilities. Sarah Windham, Annenberg Radio News.
An artist and activist was in Alumni Park today to display prints from her series of feminist street art. Tatiana Fazlalizadeh's drawings show women who aren't smiling. They're captioned with messages like, "My name is not baby, you are not entitled to my body," and the title of the series, "Stop Telling Women to Smile."
It was really inspired by my experiences with street harassment. It's something that I experience almost every day. Just that fact that it's a daily thing that happens to me, this kind of daily burden that I carry around.
Students who came to watch the street artist display her work say they're glad to see feminist messages told through art on USC's campus.
I think it's really excited just to have somebody sharing such a positive and empowering message.
I just love seeing art being thrown out in the open and respected.
I hate when people tell me to smile, so that's why I'm here.
Fazlalizadeh has pasted art from this series in cities across the country. It's opening day for the Los Angeles Dodgers. The men in blue are playing the San Diego Padres in the season opener at Dodger Stadium. And right now, the Dodgers are up 6-3 at the bottom of the eighth. Before the game, Chase Cohen went downtown to French Dip restaurant Philippe's to hear what fans are looking forward to this season.
Once again, if you did not get your free French Dip sandwich, step this way.
Dodger baseball is back, and so is the line outside Philippe's. Something manager Andrew Binder loves to see.
We see the earliest Dodger fans come in before 8 o'clock, and by 9 o'clock, it's just a sea of Dodger blue. It's awesome.
It's looking like the Dodgers are on the brink of a World Series, and fans seem to be confident in the new group of players.
I'm excited for the new lineup. I want to see what they can do, but I think they could go pretty far this year.
I don't know if I want to make any predictions. I don't want to go on the record as saying anything other than they're going to go all the way to the World Series.
Most Dodger fans won't be able to watch the games on TV because of the ongoing battle between Time Warner Cable and DirecTV. Binder says fans are welcome to watch the game at Philippe's.
We're actually at the restaurant. We are lucky to be able to have Time Warner, so that really helps for the customers who want to watch the games here. But, you know, I really want more people to be able to watch it. With Vince Scully maybe on his last year, every game that the fans can't hear him announce is really a tragedy. So.
Dodger fans and players alike hope to win one for Vin before he puts down the mic, and this just might be the year for that. Chase Cohen, Annenberg Radio News.
If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Jason Chang with today's Root Source.
Jack Nicholson's character in The Shining is regarded as one of the greatest lunatics in film history.
Here's Johnny!
The term lunatic is derived from the old Latin word lunaticus, which referred to madness caused by the moon. It was believed that up until the 1700s that the moon was the source of various diseases. Although we've since disproved the belief, we're still conflicted about lunatics. On one hand, we love them. Remember the Mad Hatter? But at the same time, they send chills down our spines.
He sticks the blade in my mouth. Let's put a smile on that face.
As polarizing as lunatics are, they remind us that one person's crazy is another person's reality.
Why so serious?
Immigrant Magazine looks to create a platform for all immigrant groups to share their voice. Victor Figueroa sat down with founder Pamela Anching to hear what inspired this unifying effort.
How do you pronounce your last name?
Anching.
Anching?
Yeah, just the way it's spelled.
Okay.
Nothing fancy.
Anching. Anching. Okay. So, how did you start the magazine?
So when I came out here, an immigrant from Cameroon, I was a teacher, and yet the representation of my life as an immigrant, they made me seem like I was a leech. And I started, you know, talking to other immigrants and trying to see if they shared similar, you know, experiences. And they expressed to me that they didn't see themselves represented. And I said, you know what, let me create a platform so I can represent voices such as mine. And so I just had the boldness to just call it The Immigrant Magazine.
I read why you came to the United States, but I would just like for the record, you know, why did you come here to the United States?
Well, I came to the United States because I was frustrated in my country, basically. You know, I grew up with dreams and aspirations of greatness, of doing things. I always knew from the time I was a child that I wanted to be in media. But I did not see the opportunities back home. It's not that the structures weren't there, but the system, a system of corruption, basically, where, you know, in order to move ahead, it's either you're dealing with professors who harass or a system where you need to know somebody who knows somebody, even though you are capable, more than capable. As a student, I got myself involved in some activism. As you can see, I like to speak up. So I was involved in that kind of sense. And at some point, it just like, okay, I'm just going to get killed here. And what use would that be? Maybe I should get out of here and empower myself. And then I can be able to come back.
Is there a group that groups that you feel are particularly misrepresented that maybe your magazine helps a lot with?
The group that I feel that has not been well represented would be the Hispanic community, because the millions and millions of Hispanics in this country who contribute a ton. However, if you look at the conversation on immigration, they're always pegged as the illegal, undocumented, you know, and nobody leaves their country to go to another land just for the sheer pleasure of it. You abandon your family, you abandon your relatives, your upbringing, everything that really makes up your human spirit. The only reason people come here is because they see an opportunity. I'm not encouraging illegal anything, but I do appreciate where they're coming from. And I really love to see that immigration conversation will be steered more toward a more humane approach to understanding why families would risk their lives and abandon everything to be here.
You talk about how it's for the whole immigrant community, but what would you say to those people who are publishing kind of these very focused, directed magazines, and maybe they're saying, you can't represent us properly?
Immigrant Magazine is just a bridge, a platform to take your story from just your community and bring it out to the world. If my story is only told in, let's say, African newspaper, magazine, or something, what's the readership? It's very unlikely that someone of a different ethnic background will read that story. However, my story may be a human interest story that cuts across ethnic boundaries. So I am not personally writing their stories. Their stories are brought to me by members of journalists from their communities who represent their ethnic backgrounds.
Is there one story that reminds you that what you're doing is worthwhile?
Of Virgilia Viegas, growing up as a little girl, her mom pegs her with some businessman in the United States. She marries this guy and becomes a mother to two children with no education, barely a high school diploma. She's here and she loses that husband. He dies. And so she has to raise her kids by herself. And today, she's the president of the Miss Asia USA pageant, a big pageant that grooms young women. Like, she didn't look at her challenges in life and settle. She decided to take it a step further. When I see what she's accomplished, it makes me realize I have no excuse. You know what? I can do better. I mean, there are millions of those stories out there. And Immigrant Magazine just wants to be that platform.
That was Pamela Anchung of Immigrant Magazine. Thank you, Pamela, for coming here.
You're very welcome. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. And I wish you all the best.
That's it for today. We had help from Kristen Lago, Eli Goodstein, and Matt Lemus. Our board operator is Lexi McAvinci. Martha Daniel is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Victor Figueroa. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Faith Miller.